We've been singing a lot about heaven today. I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to that day. When we get to see our Savior face to face, and the Bible says that in heaven there'll be no more sickness. I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to that, amen? No more sorrow, no more death, no more disease, no more taxes. And some of you ought to be excited about that. And I tell you what, it's going to be a glorious day. We're going to spend eternity praising the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And I tell you what, I'm looking forward to that day after day after day. And now some of y'all are going to have to get used to that. Some of you that think we ought to be out by 12 o'clock on Sunday, got news for you. There's going to be no noon ending at service in heaven. We're going to have perpetual praise forever and ever and ever. Well, as you know, this summer I've been preaching a series of sermons on faith. We've been looking at the courage of faith and the fact that that courage of faith is so important to us. We know that faith is completely trusting in God's word. It's unconditional confidence in the word of God that what it says is true, no matter whether you believe it or not, or I believe it or not, what he says settles it, amen? And we got to get to that point. We must understand that God in the word gives us people of faith. Thank God for this Hebrews 11 chapter that reminds us of people who did not give up, they looked up, who did not give out, but they depended on the power of God. They were people just like you and I, but they trusted God. They had faith in God. They had the courage of faith to stand up against the enemy. I'm thankful last Sunday we looked at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, I know I got run a little short last Sunday, and kind of we left them in the fiery furnace, but I've got good news. They got out of the fiery furnace. They didn't stay there because guess what? There was one waiting for them in the fiery furnace. It was the pre-incarnate Christ, and he was already waiting for them when they got in there. And when Nebuchadnezzar went over there in Daniel chapter 3 and he looked in the fiery furnace, he said, did we not throw three bound in the fiery furnace? And there's a fourth one in there, and he's likened to the Son of God. And by the way, the reason he was like the Son of God, he was the Son of God. You know, the only thing that burned was that which bound them. Amen. When you and I get thrown in the fiery furnace, the only thing that's going to burn is that which binds us. Because see, there was not one hair of their head singed. There was not the smell of smoke on their clothes. There was no evidence that they had been in the fiery furnace. I want to remind you, the guys who threw them in there had all these coats on that were supposed to protect them, and they all died throwing them in there. That's the God we serve. Thank God for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that said, our God is able to deliver us. But, and they did put a but there, by the way, but if he does not, we're still going to trust him. Now, that's faith, folks. A lot of times we trust God as long as he comes through for us. But you know what? We need to trust God no matter what. Sometimes we pray for people that are sick and they die. We don't understand all that, how God heals some and doesn't heal others. That's the counsel of God. His ways are not our ways, and his ways are past finding out. But I'm going to tell you today, our God is able, and we got to trust him. If you have a copy of the scripture, I want to look at another man of faith found in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, let's go there. It's interesting that Justin didn't know I was going to preach on this morning, but he mentioned about David, how he's anointed king by Samuel. And I'm going to preach on David today. The courage of faith. I'm thankful for people in the Bible who had enough courage to stand for God against all odds, folks. And we got to look at this situation. You've heard this story since you were a little child, the story of David and Goliath. It's more than a giant story, by the way. It's a story about how our God can turn problems into possibilities. Some of us are facing some giants in our life this morning. Some of us are facing the giant of our health today. We're facing health problems. Some of us are facing the giant of fear. Some of us of unbelief. Some of us are facing the giant of maybe a family problem or a job situation or a financial problem. Whatever your giant is today, I've got good news. It's not greater than our God. Our God is able to take care. And I want you to hear this today. David didn't kill the giant. God did. He had 5 smooth stones, but guess what? He only needed 1. Why? Because God directed that stone right into the forehead of the giant Goliath, and he was killed. The courage of faith. The courage of faith. 1 Samuel, if you ever got the scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 17. I wish I could read this whole chapter, but I don't have time to do that this morning. But I want to challenge you to do it. We're going to be looking at certain parts of it, though, as we look at how do we overcome the giants in our life. How do we overcome the giants in our life? Some of you today, if you'd be honest, you'd say, man, I'm facing one right now, Brother Jerry. I'm in a situation that's greater than me. But listen to me. It might be greater than you, but it's not greater than our God. I still believe the Word of God that says there's absolutely nothing too difficult for him. Remember Jeremiah when he was shut up in prison over there and he had a relative that was going to come sell him a piece of property that the enemy was going to take over, and he goes to God and he prays to God and he says, "Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power, and there's nothing too difficult for you." Isn't it interesting? Sometimes we pray things and then God prays them back to us. He says, "You're right, Jeremiah. There's absolutely nothing too difficult for me. I made the heavens and the earth by thy great power." I love Psalm 121. Listen to it. "I will look unto the hills from which comes my help. My help comes from the Lord." And don't miss this part. "Who made heaven and earth." Listen to me. If he can make heaven and earth in 6 days, he can take care of you and I. Amen. He can overcome anything that we face, any giant that we're facing today. But he goes on, he says, "You're right, Jeremiah. There's nothing too difficult for me." But then he says this, Jeremiah 33:3. You know this verse. He says, "You call on me, and I will answer thee, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not." By the way, today, I'm not supposed to be here today. A lot of people said, "Stay home because you're sick, Brother Jerry. Your numbers are low. You could get, yeah, my immune system is to the point where I could get someone's sickness today." But you know what? If I'm not here, I've got to either be in the hospital or I got to be sick in bed, really sick. Because I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. God's been with me these 9 years that you prayed for me through cancer, and God's going to be with me through my immune system, even though it's low. And by the way, it showed me that I need the medicine that I'm taking, because I hadn't had it in 6 weeks, and my numbers dropped from 688 down to 507. But I want to tell you what, God knows about that. He knows what I'm going through. He knows what I'm facing, and he's going to be with me. He's going to help me overcome. And I'm here today in the power of God. The Hispanic pastor texted me this morning and said, "Brother Jerry, how are you doing?" I said to him, "I'm weak, but I'm strong today. I'm strong because I'm here in the power of God." Thank God for that. How do we overcome the giants? First of all, you got to properly evaluate the situation. Look at chapter 17 here. Chapter 17. "Now the Philistines," verse 1, "gathered together in their armies into battle, and were gathered together at Shalcom there, and he that belongeth to Judah, and pitched below Shalcom and Azalah in the Ephesdam mine there, Ephesdam, and it says, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in the array against the Philistines. Now the Philistines stood on one side of the mountain, and the Israelites stood on the other side of the mountain, and there was the valley of Elah in the middle of it. And there went a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath, of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, it depends on how you measure a cubit, but this giant was at least 9 feet tall. 9 feet tall. So he was a big giant, and he came out every day. He had a helmet. Look at what it says here in verse 5. He had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and there was the weight of his coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and the target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. One bearing a shield went before him. And they stood and cried against the armies of Israel, verse 8, and said to them, why are you come out and set yourself in the battle in the array? Am I not the Philistine? Are you not the servant to Saul? Choose you a man and let him come down and we'll fight. You knew the challenge. Every day, for 40 days, this giant came out and he challenged the children of God, the army of Israel, and said, listen, you send a man out, I'll fight against him. Whoever wins, the other will serve the other. What a challenge. You know, isn't it interesting in the Bible, we find that right after a victory, there comes a challenge. You remember, it hadn't been too long that David had been anointed king. And just like Justin mentioned, when Samuel went over there, he went through all the sons of Jesse. They didn't find anyone. And finally says, do you not have any more sons? He says, oh, I've got one more boy. He's just a ruddy, red-headed boy out in the middle there. He's watching sheep. He said, bring him in. As he came in, guess what? Samuel saw him, and the Lord said, that is going to be the new king of Israel. Remember, they had had Saul because they had chosen Saul. But now God was going to choose, and he was going to raise up David. And right after he's anointed the future king of Israel, he faces the giant. After the victory came for the children of God, after they crossed the Jordan, they faced Jericho. After Elijah called down fire from heaven in 1 Kings 18, right after that, in 1 Kings 19, Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you. And he runs for his life, and he ends under a juniper tree saying, Lord, take my life. It's not worth living. Nehemiah had a burden over the walls of Jerusalem that were broken down. And he called for God's people to rebuild the walls. And by the way, they're going to do it in 52 days, which is a miracle of God. But there were 3 men that came against him and said, hey, come down off that wall. He says, oh, no, I'm not coming down off of this wall. I'm doing the work of God. Right after a victory, there's a challenge. Listen to me, church. Right after God blesses, sometimes in a church, the devil wants to show up and destroy and kill and divide. Listen to me. God's been blessing Lane Prairie Baptist Church. We sent out a newsletter. He's going to send out a newsletter this next week, and my secretary said, usually she puts the new members in there. I said, how long has it been? It's been a couple of months since we sent out a newsletter. I said, how many new members has God given us? She said, 25 new members in the last 2 months, folks. God has been working. Praise him. Our finances have been stronger than ever in the history of the church. We're continuing to put money into missions. As long as we do that, we're going to give more to missions this year than we ever again have before church. I counted up a little bit in my mind this week. We're not through the year yet, but I think we're going to give over $120,000 to missions this year. $120,000 to missions. And maybe more if God keeps blessing. But I'm going to tell you what, when we face the victory, get ready, the giant will be around the corner. Get ready, the walls of Jericho will be there. Get ready, there will be opposition that wants to come against us. But I want you to know, we got to face a difficult situation. And as we face that, we got to properly evaluate the situation. What was the problem with the children of Israel? May I tell you the problem with the children of Israel? Every time they went out and saw that giant, he grew about 2 inches every day. Why? Because they were looking at the giant instead of the giant killer, God. They were evaluating the situation from their perspective instead of God's perspective. Notice what the Bible tells us here. Go down to verse 15. And David went and returned from Saul to feed the father's sheep in Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near the morning and evening and presented himself for 40 days. This giant, for 40 days he's presenting himself. And by the way, that's interesting in the scripture. I don't know if you ever noticed that. 40 days is a time of testing. It was Moses who spent 40 years on the backside of a mountain before God was going to raise him up to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt. It was Joshua and Caleb that spent 40 years in the wilderness because they were men of faith that said, we need to take it right now because of the unbelief of the 10 spies. The children of God shrunk back. But for 40 years, they were in that wilderness until God was going to raise up Joshua and Caleb to lead the children of God. It was Jesus that was tempted for 40 days in the wilderness when God delivered him. See, 40 is a sign of testing. Sure enough, they're taking the testing, and David is sent down to take lunch to his brothers. Here it is, new king of Israel, but yet he's still a boy, and he's sent down that way to deliver lunch to his brothers. Verse 19, look at it. And Saul said, and they that all the men of Israel were in the valley of Ebi fighting with the Philistines, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and they went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench as the hosts were going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. And Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in the array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keepers of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted the brethren. And he, as he is talking, behold, the champion, here he comes out, that giant, Goliath. He comes out and he says, David heard him say, again, a challenge. And look at verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were sore afraid. Now, follow me here today, church. What were they doing? They were evaluating the situation by their circumstances instead of by God's circumstances. They were evaluating the situation. They saw it as a problem instead of a possibility. And the men of Israel, verse 25 said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely he will defy Israel. He come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king shall enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free of Israel. And David spake to the men and stood by them saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You see the difference? These guys, they saw him. The Israel army saw him. What did they do? They would run away. David sees them. He says, why do we stand here afraid? Why are we looking at the giant afraid? May I tell you today, we can look at the giants of our life as a problem, or we can look at them as a possibility. Let me tell you what a problem is. A problem is a platform upon which God desires to show how wonderfully he can provide. May I tell you something? Some of us are facing a problem today that God is waiting to show you he is able to provide for you through that problem. He is able to turn that problem into a possibility. We got to look at it from that standpoint. See, the difference was the Israel was looking at this man from their sight instead of God's sight. David shows up and says, hey, listen, we have a God that is the commander of the army. We have a God that is the living God that can take care of this Philistine. See, the trouble we have today, folks, is a lot of us are facing giants in our own power. A lot of us are looking from our perspective instead of God's perspective. A lot of us are depending on what we can do instead of what God can do. So you got to evaluate the situation. Let me ask you a question. Where are you today? Where are you in that situation? Is it a problem or is it a possibility? Are you living in fear and doubt and defeat today? Or are you living in faith, courage of faith that says, listen, our God is able to deliver us. Let me tell you something. When a problem comes knocking on your door, you know what you ought to do? You ought to say, hey, I've been waiting on you. Come on in. Let me just invite you into my house. You come into my house right now. I want you to know I'm glad you're here because it's reminding me of the blessing that God is about to give me. Amen? What a difference. Amen? Are you looking for the blessing that God is about to give? Or are you looking at the problem? You got to evaluate the situation. Is it a problem or is it a possibility? Secondly, this morning, you got to persistently employ the solution. You got to persistently employ the solution. Beginning in verse 31, look at it with me if you would. Verse 31. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and David said, I can take care of this giant. And they sent for him, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. And David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and that tried to take a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him, and I smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he came, arose against me, I caught him by the beard, and I smote him, and I slew him. The servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be one of them, seeing that he hath defied the armies of the living God. Amen. Wow. You see what he's saying there? First of all, may I tell you what David had? He had an unqualified faith. He had an unqualified faith. He said, listen, the Lord will deliver me. Look at verse 37. And David moreover said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, may the Lord be with you. I think by that time, old Saul, he was a little scared. Saying, man, we need somebody to fight him. None of us are going to fight him. Saul was a giant man, as you know. None of us are going to fight him. You go fight him. He had an unqualified faith. The Lord who delivered, notice what he says here. He will deliver me. He didn't say he can deliver me. He will deliver me. There was no doubt in his mind. There was no fear in his heart. It was faith and faith alone that was going to bring the victory. And that's the type of faith, folks, we got to have in facing the giants we have. It's an unqualified faith that says, listen, no matter what comes our way, we're going to trust God come what may. Well, I tell you what would happen if the church was like that? I believe the church was like that in the early church. You remember whenever they were told no longer to speak in the name of Jesus? In Acts chapter 4, what'd they do? They didn't pray for protection, they prayed for boldness. The Bible says in Acts 4:31, in the prayer meeting, the place was shaken in that prayer meeting. The power of God fell on them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began what? To speak the word of God with boldness. They didn't ask for protection, they asked for boldness. They had an unqualified faith. Secondly, you got to have an uncompromising faith. Look at what he says here. Verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor and put the helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, but he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. You see that? Now what is Saul doing here? Saul's saying, hey, I've got a solution. Solution is, hey, you take my armor. You take my armor. By the way, let me tell you what. David was not going to defeat the giant in Saul's armor. He was going to defeat the giant in God's power. We today use the world's method. Listen to me, church. We use the world's method to face the giants of our life. We say, well, what I need to do is take another class on this subject. Or I need to go take another subject here. Or I need to go do this. Or I need to go do this. Or I can read a book and it'll help me. Let me tell you what. The book that'll help you is this book right here. And the book that'll give you the victory is this book here. Because it's a book of victory. How over and over again, when God's people face giants or the difficult enemies, God brought the victory. What does Zechariah say? Zechariah 4:6, it's not by power or not by your might, but by God's Spirit shall things happen. He had an unqualified faith. He had an uncompromising faith. Very interesting. Thirdly, may I tell you today, he had an unselfish faith. Because in verse 41 and following, you're going to see that he's going to call on the name of the Lord, folks. See, David knew it wasn't about him. It was about the Lord. It's about what God could do, not what he could do. Okay? He gets over there, and there the giant's trying to tell him. And notice verse 40. Look at it. And he took his staff with him, his hand, and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And he... and a sling which was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came and drew near to David, and the man bare the shield went before him. In other words, this guy, he had a shield bearer, the giant did. Get some help. David didn't need help, he needed God. Listen to me today, folks. And the Philistine looked about and he saw David. He disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and a fair countenance. And the Philistine said, verse 43, David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Look at verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou defiest. This day will the Lord, he didn't say he might, he said, the Lord will deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day and of the fowls of the air. You see this faith? It's an unselfish faith. Because, see, he knew what was about to happen. And listen to what he says here. Follow on with me here. Verse 47. And all this assembly shall know. In other words, what's going to happen? When our faith is real, folks, it'll affect others. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not by sword or spear, for the battle is who? The Lord's. Do you hear that today, church? How many battles are we facing? Are we fighting that we don't need to fight? They're the Lord's battles. We need to give it to him. We need to measure the situation, not by our situation or what we can do or by what God can do. Is it a problem or is it a possibility? Do we have an unqualified faith? Do we have an uncompromising faith? Do we have an unselfish faith? There's no place for self. And by the way, let me tell you something. When you decide to take a fight, there's going to be some people there to discourage you. Listen to me. There's going to be some people there to say, you know, we really can't do this, Brother Jerry. You know, we've gone through some things here at Lane Prairie Baptist Church. People would say, oh, we can't do that. We can't build a family life center. We can't build a children's building. We can't. And by the way, praise God, today we're a debt-free church. We don't owe a dime. Why? Because God has provided. Every time we stepped out by faith, what happened? God came through. We didn't come through. God came through. And he's still coming through. He still has a people, and he still will work through his people. Interesting. Have you ever noticed in the story about his older brother, Eliab? Go back to verse 28 with me. Look at it. Verse 28. And Eliab, his elder brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab, anger, kindled against David. And he said, why do you come down here? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride. I know the naughtiness of your heart. Thou art come down that thou mayest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? In other words, here his older brother, what is he saying? Basically saying, hey, why did you come down here, you little snotty-nosed boy? You're supposed to be down there taking care of the sheep. Who's taking care of the sheep when you're gone? He was trying to discourage him. Listen to me, church. There's always going to be Eliab in our lives. There's always going to be someone there to discourage us, have a negative report, and they'll have that negative report to us. But listen to me, we must not listen to the negative report. We must listen to the voice of God. And then Saul said, hey, take my armor. I'm not going to fight, but you can fight. And what did David say? I don't need your armor. I need God. By the way, David's armor on Saul, on David, probably, Saul's armor on David probably looked like he was just kind of is falling all over him. I don't need your armor. I need God's armor. Listen to me today, church. We got to understand that God will bring the victory. What did he have to do? Number one, he had to reject discouragement. Listen to me today. If you're going to defeat the giant in your life, you got to reject discouragement that comes your way. Not only that, you got to recall past victories. You got to say, I remember when God did this. And by the way, the God that helped you yesterday is the God that will help you today. The God that was with you last week is the God that will be with you this week. And over in the scripture says, we're to remember what God did. Some of us have forgot what God did. Right after we win a victory, the next week we're fear. We're wringing our hands saying, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? He recalled past victories. And then thirdly, not only did he reject discouragement, recall past victories, he relied on God. That'd be a good thing, amen? We ought to rely on God. Folks, God's ways are not our ways, and his ways are past finding out, and there is absolutely nothing too difficult for God. We ought to reckon the victory. We ought to call on the name of the Lord. May I tell you, there's power in the name of God. Call on the name of the Lord. Say, in the name of Jesus, I stand against you today, giant. And I don't see you as a problem. I see you as a possibility. God is about to work in this situation. And then the last step. You got to personally enjoy the spoils. Oh, there you have little David. He's over there. He has a sling. He has 5 smooth stones, folks. But that's all he needed. Aren't you glad? This story is here for a reason. And the Bible says in David, verse 49, look at it with me. And David put his hand in the bag and took thence a stone and slung it. And he smote the Philistine in the forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead, and it fell upon his face on the earth. And David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran up, he stood on top of the Philistine, he took his sword, he drew it out of the sheath therefore, and he slew him, and he cut his head. When the Philistines saw their champion was died, what did they do? They fled. All of a sudden, the men of Israel got a lot of strength. Isn't it interesting when we take a stand on faith, how people will be encouraged by that? They'll say, hey, if he could stand on faith, I could stand on faith. I was preaching on this several years ago. It was right before I was going to be preaching at the baccalaureate service that night, probably about 7 years ago. And I had on one of those watches that, you know, I have a clasp on this watch right here. Had one of those just had the elastic on it, you know. And I got to going. I said, and he jumped on top of him. He took the sword and he cut his head off. And my watch went out to about the third row right there. And I'm going to tell you what, that afternoon I told the graduating seniors that I've been known to throw my watch if you don't listen to me. Oh, their eyes got about that big. The watch-throwing preacher. But may I tell you today, church, David, we need to understand that faith is the victory. You remember the song we used to sing? We've sang it recently, too. Faith is the victory. Listen to it. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise. And press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foes and veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. And tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. In him who overcomes the foe, white raiment will be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the host of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. May I ask you a question today? What's the giant you're facing? What is it in your life that you're struggling with today? You're shrinking back instead of going forward. You're looking at the giant as a problem, not a possibility. See, this story in the Bible is not there just for our amusement. It's there for our purpose that we might learn to live by faith and not by sight. That we may learn that conquering faith is real. Because if God can take a little boy, a ruddy boy like David, and defeat the giant, God can take you wherever you are today, and he can give you the victory over whatever you're facing. For some here today, you've never given your life to Christ. And I'm going to invite you to do something that's going to take courage today. Take courage to stand for Christ. It does. I'm going to invite you to take a step of faith out in the aisle and come take a pastor by the hand and say, Pastor, I need Jesus. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know today you have eternal life. You don't have to live in doubt. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live wondering day after day, do I have eternal life? Do I not have it? Do I have it? Do I not have it? You can know that you have eternal life today. If you don't know that, you need to come and give your life to Christ. Others today, you've been coming to our church for a while. God's been calling you to join this church. That takes a step of faith too. But I'm going to tell you what, if you take that step of faith and a part of a local body of believers, God will honor you. He will help you. This will be a church that will pray for you, that will stand by you, that will encourage you, that will help you through the difficult times. I invite you to come and join our church today. But then there's some people here today that will be honest, deep down inside, say, oh, Brother Jerry, I have a problem that's greater than me, and I've been letting it defeat me. But today, with God's help, I want God to kill my giant. And I've got good news. He will kill your giant. But just like I said, David didn't kill the giant. God did. Let's stand together. Let's stand. As we stand.